Follow the Money. We've got three really good guests. Jessica Clement from the Federal Managers Association is going to lead off the show at 10 o'clock, and she's going to be talking about this new labor management partnership that the Obama administration has set up. But specifically, she's going to focus on the National Security Personnel System. I think most people who are involved in it know that it was a mandated program of the Bush administration. Something like 262,000 Defense Department civilians were rolled into it. The federal unions never liked it, and many employees were suspicious of it. Bottom line is Congress eliminated it last year and said get rid of it as soon as possible. Defense is doing that, and it's defense only. And defense is doing that, and they hope to have, I think, everybody out of it and back into the GS system by October, which is a little bit like putting toothpaste back in a tube. The problem is that there are about 4,000, maybe 5,000 people in this number who did very, very well under the NSPS. And when they go back to the GS system, the question is, where do you put them salary-wise, and what happens with the future pay raises? And apparently, they're going to try to match them as close as they can to their former grade and step and that sort of thing. And then in the future, it appears that if there's, there's a 5% pay raise, they might only get 2.5%. So talking more about that. And then Dan Adcock and Dave Snell from National Active and Retired Federal Employees are going to come on and talk about there's some major Medicare changes for federal retirees and changes in the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program. And the good news is for the retirees is that there's not going to be a separate risk pool. So they will be in the same pool for premium purposes as active duty workers. So the young and healthy in that sense will support the older workers. The older workers, on the other hand, support the young and healthy who are doing things like skiing and rock climbing and having kids. So it's all one big, not always happy family.
You have two really huge issues on the same show.
Yeah.
Let's go back to NSPS for just a second. And you were talking about that small subset of folks, 4,000 to 5,000 people who were doing super well and might see not pay cuts necessarily, but smaller raises in the future. Are those rank and file? Are they managers? Where do they?
Great point. They're virtually all managers. If you recall the history of the thing, the federal unions, particularly the AFGE, fought NSPS from day one for a variety of reasons. And so as a sort of a compromise, defense said, okay, we'll put people who are in non-bargaining unit positions into it. So a lot of them are managers. The claim at the time was that the best pay raises were going to people who were management types who were closest to Washington, literally closest to the Pentagon, and that out in the field, the ripple effect wasn't so good. Ironically, now that they're eliminating NSPS, many of the people who were under it say, hey, this was a good system, not just the 4,000 or 5,000, but some of the others. They say, good system. I got better raises than I would have under the GS. So now they're unhappy to be going back. So it makes for full employment for people like us, you know.
Absolutely. And let's get back then into the healthcare stuff that you were telling me about. Now, when you increase the pool, everybody sort of supports everybody else. And in this case, you might have people who might not be very happy that the retirees are going to be in the same pool with them because they think it's going to make their premiums go up. But there's a flip side.
Well, it'll continue. The way it is now, the federal program is all one big happy family, or maybe not always happy, which is unusual because the private sector differs from that. But in the federal program, you have almost 9 million people. A large number of them are federal retirees and or survivor annuitants. And some of these people are 90, 100 years old, not in the best of health. But their experience, these plans are experience rated, and their health experiences are rated alongside of the young, healthy, you know, 20-year-old marathoners. So there was a thought that we might split that pool and put the retirees in one group and the active duty workers in another. And, of course, the retirees fought it, understandably, because their argument is, hey, one of these days, if you're lucky, you're going to be old too, and then you'll want this. The column I did today was serious, but also tongue-in-cheek, and what I said was everybody wants a group health plan. They want group rates, but they want the plan tailored strictly to them. You know, so, you know, you want the best of all worlds. And there is a little bit of a civil war going on in the government between the young people and the older people, also between the couples with no children and the Brady Bunch families with lots of kids and you know, everybody in between. But everybody says we're all for democracy with a capital D, and we want peace, tranquility, and justice. But I want a slight edge, and that's the way it is with health insurance.
So where does that stand now?
Now it will continue. The status status quo will continue, meaning that premiums will be based on the whole risk pool, which is active duty federal workers, retired federal workers, and their survivors. So it will, nothing changes, but there was a good chance earlier that they might split that risk pool, and that's why people were understandably nervous.